Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, DJ Foster. Joining me today, yes, Andrew. what do you need, Andrew?
I just said hi.
That's it?
I thought you were talking to me. I'm sorry.
What about that made you think that I was talking to you? Oh, we're off to a great start. That's ESPN.com's Andrew Hahn interrupting Andrew Hahn. How are you, Andrew? You may speak now. All right, that's classic Andrew. We're going to jump right into it, start off with some news here. We talked a little about this yesterday, but Bryce Johnson is listed as out indefinitely with a back issue. A source told ESPN's Jeff Goodman that Johnson is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Doc Rivers had this to say about it. He said he's not going to miss the year or anything, but just missing 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks for a guy who's that young. That's a hard break for him, but it happens. So Doc is expecting him to be out in that time range as well. Bryce Johnson out 4 to 6 weeks. Andrew is my draft guru. Is that fair to call you a draft guru?
No, it's not. Because
okay.
I know very little about the draft. So.
Yeah, but you're into it, though. You're always like researching and trying to hit me up for draft takes when I've watched like two plays of college basketball. It's kind of
your
thing.
Your draft guru, if I'm the one that's constantly asking you who looks good.
That's, you just trust my opinion so much. I didn't say that you have a good taste in friends. I just said you're my draft guru.
I trust my taste in friends more than I do my draft picks.
Well, that's terrible news for this next segment then. So Bryce Johnson, if he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to give you a chance to redraft the 2016 NBA draft. You are the Los Angeles Clippers GM. Congratulations.
Well, can we take this a step back for a second?
Yeah, sure.
What do we think about Bryce Johnson?
What do we think about Bryce Johnson? Just in general?
Yeah, just in general.
I think he could be a nice player. I don't think he has star potential. I think he's probably tops out as a rotation big man who can give you like 20, 25 minutes a night. But could be a solid rotation player going forward. I didn't love the pick just because I don't think it was an area of need for the Clippers necessarily.
Sure.
I would have rather...
Was he the best available player, do you think?
I don't think so. I think he was one of the best available players, but okay. I don't think he was the best available player once you factor in fit.
Okay.
What do you think?
Pretty similar. I'd said before the draft that I thought Bryce Johnson's like absolute ceiling, so we can pretty much put this comp aside that he won't hit it and probably not come that close to it. But his ceiling would be Ed Davis.
I'm fine with that. It's the North Carolina connection.
Oh, did Ed Davis go to North Carolina?
He did indeed. He did indeed.
Okay. But so he would be what, a poor man's Ed Davis?
I think he can be as good as Ed Davis. I think he can actually be better than Ed Davis. I would put his ceiling a little higher. But you like Ed Davis more than I do.
I do like Ed Davis quite a bit. But Ed Davis is what I think of as a quality rotation big man that plays 20, 25 minutes a night.
This is true. That's accurate.
You know, rebounds like a beast.
Right. What is Bryce Johnson? What do we think his best skill is going to be?
That's the problem, right?
Right.
because I don't know that I'm not totally in love. I mean, I guess there's no point in relitigating a draft pick that's 3 months old.
Well, that's literally what we're doing.
Well, no, I mean, just the pros and cons of it. I can certainly talk about who else I would have rather taken.
Right, but, right.
Yeah. Like, for example.
Okay, you got a name.
I got a name. I'm just going to dive right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ben Simmons.
Well, that's...
Is that not how this works?
No, that's 100% not the game. You're on the clock at pick 25. Unfortunately, Ben Simmons went 24 picks ago. Ooh, tough break.
The irony here is that there was like three or four players that got picked before Bryce Johnson that I thought was going to be available. Not even forget about the 25th pick. I thought they were going to be available with the 33rd pick.
Yeah, Caris LeVert was one of them for me.
He was a guy that I was really high on. I didn't care that he had health issues. I liked his size. I liked his playmaking ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had a... was a very good shooter in the short span that he was on the court while at Michigan.
Yep.
And he went at 20. Gershon Yabusele, the French Larry Johnson is what they called him. He went at 16.
Whoa, the French Larry Johnson?
That's what they said.
Wow, love that.
Juan Hernan Gomez I liked. He went 15. Denzel Valentine. Taurean Prince was a surprise. He went at 12.
Yeah, I expected him to fall outside of the lottery. That was a big surprise.
But those were all guys that I kind of like keyed in on for the draft that went way higher than I thought.
So that's a good sign that your draft, the guys that you were targeting went higher, right?
Yeah, I think someone had made the joke on Twitter that I must have been drafting for Atlanta because they took Taurean Prince and
DeAndre Bembry, right.
Both guys.
You were all over both those guys.
Yeah, I like both of them. Like, the little trick that I do when looking at prospects beyond just like doing research and things like that is when they go visit teams, you don't get to actually watch the players work out for teams, but you do get to see like the very end when they do media availability.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that overlaps with like the cool down stuff that the prospects do and the stretching. And to me, if I'm an NBA prospect the interview starts the second you get off the plane, and it doesn't end until you get back on the plane.
Yeah.
So if guys are taking their cooldown seriously and like taking the stretching and all of that stuff very seriously, I feel like that reflects positively on their work ethic and their mentality and things like that. And if guys just don't care, then, you know, not quite as great. I mean, obviously it's not going to be a deal breaker, but I feel like if you're trying to do like personality assessment or psychological analysis, like these are peaks into all of that.
Sure. Yeah, you can catch a little window. I think if you're an NBA prospect now, you better stretch seriously or Andrew Hahn's gonna call you out on your stuff.
Right away I'd be like, this guy's not the number one pick because
he was giggling while he was giggling. Doing
he just thought stretching was just, you know, that was for chumps.
His Warrior 2 was not nearly as serious as it needed to be. No, I agree with that. That's interesting. And I think, yeah, you can kind of tell just from how players even react, kind of deal with other players and the way they talk to people. Are they, you know, do they think they're... Man, I've wanted to say a curse word two times in a row here, and I can't do it. We would lose our non-profanity rating. Their stuff doesn't stink.
Is that what you were gonna say?
I was gonna say their stuff doesn't stink. That doesn't really have the same effect, does it?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. The way they're acting with other guys and the way they kind of treat the media, are they totally over it? Is it something that they're coming into it with full energy and kind of embracing the moment? That's a good point. I like it. Okay, so all those guys are off the clock though. They're all off the board.
I got the list in front of me. Okay. All the players that I would take over Bryce Johnson at 25.
Well, all the players.
I'm just gonna list them out here.
All right, let's do it.
The 26th pick, Furkan Korkmaz.
I can't say I've watched too much Furkan Korkmaz.
I like the guy. He seems like a decent shooter. You know, high energy, high motor guy. I know that. because he was a European prospect, like there would have been buyout issues, things of that nature with him. So I understand not taking him 25. But if we're talking purely on which players I like more, Korkmaz is a guy I liked. He is a small, he's a wing, so he's like a shooting guard slash small forward, which is clearly a position of need for the Clippers.
Sure. And he's in Philly now, right?
Yes, I believe Philly went ahead and took him.
So we'll see him in, what, 4 years? Maybe?
Maybe. Or maybe sooner. I don't know.
You just want the Clippers to have a European stash player for once, finally.
Would have been nice. And then they would have had that extra roster spot open. And they could have gone ahead and kept Darrell Wright, who's in their training camp right now, who I also like generally, is just like an end of the bench wing that you might need.
Sure.
But they have 15 guaranteed contracts right now, so it's very unlikely he's going to make the roster.
You know what? I think the logic behind that is actually really smart. That if the Clippers are just going to play veterans in their rotation anyway, why not stash a guy and hope he turns into the next Manu Ginobili, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense. I never really thought of it that way, but that makes sense.
We know historically that the Clippers do not like drafting international prospects because of the horrific luck that they've had with them.
Yeah.
But
Yaroslav Korolev, baby. Yeah, I don't know, that makes sense to me. Okay, so who else?
Let's see here.
Again, this is NBA Draft Guru. Your new title, Andrew Hahn.
Well, this is a pro. Is it DeJounte Murray? DeJounte Murray?
Yeah.
He went 29.
The Spurs took him, so you're automatically validated.
He's a big point guard slash shooting guard type player. That would have been very useful. Not quite a position of need because Austin Rivers is kind of entrenched behind Chris Paul. But seems like there would have been a lot of value at taking Murray at that spot.
Tough though, right? With having Austin already there and you just re-signed him.
Well, you hadn't re-signed him yet.
That's
and you,
true.
And you would
That's...
take this pick.
But you were going to, but they were always going to re-sign Austin.
So... They were always going to re-sign him. But also, it feels like if you wanted to go ahead and trade this player at a later date, Murray would have more value than Bryce Johnson.
He certainly has a higher upside.
Right.
Right. Lower floor, but higher upside.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd agree with that.
Who else you got?
Pick 32, Ivaka Zubac.
The Lakers big guy. Yeah, he looked real good in summer league.
I liked what I saw from him before the draft. I mean, I guess it's kind of cheating right now just because I've seen them in summer league. I've seen a little bit of preseason, so you have an idea of what these guys are and aren't. But Zubac, there was another big European player. What was his name?
I do not know. I watched like 0% of the summer league games this year.
Oh, Ante Zizic. He went 23rd. Celtics.
Yeah.
So like that's how I kept them paired in my mind. The Ivaka Zubac and Ante Zizic, the two Croatian big men.
No, Zubac is on the roster this year for the Lakers, right?
Yeah, he's on the roster for them. Yeah.
So you would want him over Bryce Johnson and have both the same situation to have him playing a backup big man spot?
Yes. I think that Zubac has higher upside.
Interesting.
Than Bryce Johnson.
Okay. I did not expect this many names from you, and you're not even close to done, are you?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, keep going.
So the Clippers drafted this guy and then traded him to New Orleans, Cheick Diallo.
Okay.
The Kansas freshman. I liked his game. It felt like he's one of... My understanding is he's one of the guys that came late to basketball.
Yeah.
And I feel like he had a really high ceiling as well, just because there's just so much development that you can do with him.
And he went to Kansas, so you know he's undervalued going into draft day.
Right.
Because Kansas always does a great job of not showing off their prospects.
Well, this is only for pick 25, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so yep. I'm not going to... Let me see here, because I got other names that I would take.
Right,
but not...
you can't reach at this point though. We're thinking value now too.
Right, right. Yeah. Patrick McCaw would have been my number one, and I feel like I was early onto this.
You were,
and I was by myself for a while, and I distinctly remember on draft night at 25 and also at 33. When McCaw was on the board, I was convinced that the Clippers were going to take him at 33,
uh-huh.
And I was like fist pumping to myself. but sadly, no, he went to Golden State at 38, and he looks like he's going to be a rotation player his rookie year.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
He's the only guy that I would take over Bryce Johnson.
Wow. Okay.
That went after him.
Okay.
He's the only guy because. It's a positional need. He's a guy who takes nothing off the table. He's long. He's athletic. He defends already. He can shoot. He can pass. There's really a lot of different things he can do, and he plays a position of need. He's the guy that I would have taken over Bryce Johnson. I'm fine with Bryce. Again, I think they got pretty good value on him. And like I said, he can be a rotation big man. But I think McCaw, they might be kicking themselves for passing on him twice.
Did you you felt this way before the draft as well?
I did like McCaw. Really, I was more focused on LeVert.
Mm-hmm.
LeVert was kind of my guy because I thought
he
was going to fall, and I was kind of all in on him. Even with the injury stuff, I really liked his game. But McCaw is a somewhat similar player, a better defender, and probably a better athlete overall. Less skilled, and less strong physically, but. Yeah, I had LeVert and McCaw kind of penciled as the guys. I just don't understand why the Clippers don't draft a young wing. Like, that's where you find your 3-and-D guy. It's really hard to find a good defensive veteran who's willing to take a low salary contract who can still defend at 32, 33 years old, right?
Yeah, it's very peculiar. And then not only that, like, it seems like they always draft positions where they already have entrenched players. Not only do they have like a starter, a definitive starter, but often cases they have like the backup there as well.
Like CJ Wilcox behind JJ and Jamal. Sure.
Even Reggie Bullock, who I think they originally tried to work out as a shooting guard to see if it could work.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually decided it couldn't. And they tried to use him as small forward and then that didn't work. And they went ahead and shipped him out. But, yeah, now they have Bryce Johnson when they have Blake and DeAndre, of course, as the starters. And then Spates, this is after the fact, of course, but there's just a glut of big men that even if Bryce was healthy, it'd be unlikely he'd see any playing time.
Spates, Brandon Bass, if you give Paul Pierce a few minutes, it probably has to be at the four.
Sure, yep.
And now with this injury, Doc has the perfect excuse to bury Bryce Johnson until the All-Star break.
Right.
If not the whole first year, this could just be essentially a red shirt season for Bryce now, right?
Right.
Yeah, kind of disappointing.
There's one more name that I'm going to bring out here.
Okay.
And that's the 52nd pick, Joel Bolomboy.
Man, he's showing us some freakish athleticism in that preseason game.
Yeah, so Utah took him. I was not high on him, but the Clippers writer, Rowan Kavner, was just talking up his game a lot. And then we like spoke to him a little bit at the media availabilities for the draft workouts. Mm-hmm. And then I dug around a little more. I liked what I saw. And I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, as far as big men are concerned, he's a really big athlete. And you kind of had an idea of what he could do. He's going to like set picks and roll hard to the basket, clean up the glass, do things like that.
He's springy as all of a man.
He's very wide.
His quick. He is a quick jumping sort of athlete, like a bigger Jeremy Evans. Not quite the athlete, but
yeah. You
can kind of see what Utah's thinking there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and then just to go back to McCaw for a second, because just to really punctuate how much I like McCaw, And again, this is before the draft. I felt, well, not before the draft. It was on draft night when he got picked. I felt like he's going to turn into the Jimmy Butler of this draft.
McCaw.
Yes, the wing that gets drafted very late in the first round or early in the second, and just you think he's going to be a complete just a serviceable wing, and then blossoms into like an impact player. Maybe he's not going to be a superstar because Jimmy Butler's what, one of the five best wings in the game.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he's going to be that good.
But. Sure, but he's the guy that you're seeing is going to be the big second round steal.
Yes.
That's not fair. Golden State shouldn't be allowed to have that guy.
I'm just looking over this list really quickly.
Does Jimmy Butler become Jimmy Butler without the opportunity? That's the thing. I don't know if we're going to be able to see the best of McCaw, because he's always going to be, at least on this current roster, on the bench, right? You got Clay.
Jimmy Butler kind of didn't get the opportunity, though, because Tibbs did not play him a ton.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And he had Noah. It was like Noah and Rose's team. And he only kind of really asserted himself, what, like his third and fourth season?
Yeah.
I'm looking down. Would it shock you if McCaw ended up being the best wing out of this draft?
Out of the whole draft?
Yeah.
Yes.
It would shock you that he's better than Ingram.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there another player besides Ingram?
Simmons, if you count him as a wing.
No, I do not count him.
Okay. You don't count him, period, or you just don't count him as a wing?
I don't count him as a wing.
Okay, gotcha. Jaylen Brown, I can see him being better than Jaylen Brown. And Buddy Hield, for sure.
Buddy Hield, Jamal Murray.
I actually like Jamal Murray a lot. I think he's going to be really good.
But would it shock you that McCaw ends up being better than Jamal Murray?
No.
No.
Surprising, yes, but I wouldn't be shocked. you got to do a lot to shock me. I'm on the internet quite a bit, so.
But, yeah, that's how much I like McCaw.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm annoyed, too, that he specifically went to Golden State.
Yeah.
Because I sent our buddy Ethan Strauss like a upset message when the Warriors drafted McCaw. He's like, oh, who's this guy? Is he good? Is he going to be anything?
The rich get richer and they don't even realize they're getting richer. Right. Yeah.
And then once the workouts happened and summer league happened, all of a sudden Ethan is driving this Patrick McCaw bandwagon.
Oh, it's a shame. Hey, just for the record, we're not out on Bryce Johnson.
We're not out on Bryce Johnson.
By any means.
But it's tough to be in on him when he has this injury, and you know that Doc was unlikely to play him this year.
Right. It's so. Certainly a setback. It's not one that could derail his career. I think it definitely, drops his stock for this season. But there's still a lot of hope that he becomes a solid rotational big man.
Do you think he becomes a solid rotational big man for the Clippers?
Eventually? Oh, for the Clippers?
Yes.
No, probably not.
Okay.
This is probably going to be on his second team when he's traded at next year's trade deadline for Jeff Green.
How about this? Do you think Bryce Johnson is on the roster come March?
March? This March?
Yes.
Yes.
So he's not. You don't think he'd get traded?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you?
I mean, I think it's possible. I think if the Clippers make a trade at the deadline, and they don't want to give up a pick,
they have to give up a pick, I think.
Then you give up Bryce, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Oof. No bueno.
There you go.
All right, well, that's the word on Bryce. Thanks for playing that game. We're gonna wrap up the show for today. We will be back tomorrow. Once again, the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Make sure you check out all the great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yes, Andrew?
Oh, are we done already?
Yeah, we're actually gonna split this up into two, but you're not supposed to tell people that.
Well, God. Okay, wait. Can I just say one more thing about Bryce before we go?
Sure.
This is like classic Clipper blog going on for a bazillion minutes about all the obscure players.
Yeah.
I think I like Diamond Stone more than Bryce now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Is it just because he has a friendship with Paul Pierce and Paul Pierce told him he has a stripper name?
I wasn't even aware of this.
Paul Pierce told Diamond Stone that his first name is a stripper name.
And that's true.
He's not wrong. What, yeah.
What's he going to say? Yeah. But I like Diamond's footwork, you know, his touch around the rim, his size. He has a little bit of shooting ability. You know, I gave a really hot take at practice a couple of days ago that I'm not saying that he's Karl Anthony Towns.
Come on.
But there's like a little bit, like what is the least amount of Karl Anthony Towns someone could have and that be a compliment?
I'm just going to dismiss that.
I'm just saying.
Your hot take, I'm not lending any credence to it.
I'm just saying.
What is the least amount of Karl Anthony Towns someone can have? Like Carl Winslow? Like that's the least amount? Like they share the same name?
Like, okay, so like one step above that. Like they're both big.
They're both large human beings, sure.
They're both large.
They both play in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that Diamond Stone looks... I feel like Diamond Stone is going to surpass Bryce Johnson in terms of like prospect development intrigue to the Clippers.
What's a worse turn of phrase than the homeless man's? Like, what's worse than being the homeless man something?
What's worse than being the homeless man?
Like, just... I don't think that... Are you saying he's the homeless man's Karl Anthony Towns? Because I feel like
it has to be worse than that. Yeah,
it's got to be way worse than that, right?
It's got to be a lot worse than
But there is nothing worse. That's how ridiculous the comparison is.
Yeah, it's like...
We'll think of something. We'll think of something.
Maybe the problem here is that Karl Anthony, it doesn't make any sense that I'm saying Karl Anthony Towns.
I mean, we could have established that 3 minutes ago.
I just want to affirm that Diamond Stone has a wagon that looks intriguing.
Okay. You're attracted to the wagon. Sure, that makes sense. Okay, Andrew, we're going to end this show, but we're secretly just starting the very next show, so don't go anywhere. Thanks for listening, everyone. Once again, it's ESPN.com's Andrew Hahn. I'm your host, DJ Foster. If you have questions for the show, email me at fosterdj3@gmail.com or find me on Twitter at FoxSportsFoster. I'd give Andrew's Twitter handle, but he hates people. We will see you for the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.